Hey, this is Aaron Battalion from Lightspeed Venture Partners. I'm here with Jeremy Liu,
one
of the partners here. I think you might want to hold the mic, because otherwise it'll sound bad.
Good idea.
All right, there we go. We are decided to put ourselves on camera. No, because I don't want to be on camera anymore after that TV show, but decided to go on voice.
The TV show was awesome.
Sorry, it was awesome. But we thought we'd get some topics. We sit around every Monday afternoon as a team and kind of talk about the world and talk about technology and talk about what's coming next. And we thought, what if we recorded some of those and let the world hear them? So this is our first attempt at doing so.
Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow because I need a new phone.
Yeah. So Apple, it is 9/11/17, and tomorrow Apple is launching what we think are three phones, two 8s and one X or 10, probably. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I'm excited about the 10. I think this idea of facial recognition to unlock the screen is going to save me a ton of almost crashes while driving.
Is it really that much better than a thumbprint, though? Like, won't it be even more annoying to look directly into the screen and line up your head? And I think it's a little unclear yet if it's going to be a better UX or just another UX.
I have faith in Apple. If they're going to produce something that's new, I think it's going to be a better experience.
I mean, I think it's, if nothing else, it's good to get the home button off the screen. I'll take the extra inch of screen real estate any day.
I hear you on that. All the way to the edge.
All the way to the edge. And the OLED screen, which will be great to look at, which is be the first time Apple has come out with an OLED.
Now, the question is, if I sit on it, will it crack?
Yeah, look at your current phone.
I know, right?
You sat on that one.
It's not in great shape. I've been hanging on for this new phone. I've been just waiting and sucking it up until now.
But I've been using iOS 11, too, which is coming out tomorrow officially, for the past couple months now. And minus it being a little sluggish on old phones, I think it's a huge upgrade from the past. And I think people will definitely like it. The Anima cons, I think, are a little cheesy, but we'll see how people respond to that when it launches tomorrow.
I'm excited about the integration of ARKit. I think we're going to see an explosion of really creative stuff. I mean, Snap has been leading the way in thinking about how AR can be integrated into something that feels more fun. Now that functionality is going to be available to all developers, I think we're going to see a lot of creativity.
Yeah, we have a couple early investments in some ARKit-based companies. But I think, as you said, Snapchat did a good job of faking it early on by doing the hard work and maybe even some acquisitions to get the technology right. But with Apple and now Google and really Facebook democratizing access to this AR technology, I think we're going to see some very cool applications. I don't know. Have you seen some of the fun AR demos on Twitter recently?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's all about the games. It's always about the games. Every time you get a new mass consumer platform, the first innovation happens from games and making fun things to do and play with. I saw the Walking Dead game. That looks freaking awesome.
Yep.
And you know, just this idea of generalizing Pokemon is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, even the, I don't know if you saw the Measure Kit demo where the guy measures his room and just looks at the corners of the room with his phone and he measured it. Like, it seems so simple, but so obvious that that's the way we should measure physical space. But I think probably one of my favorites recently, and I think I saw it last week, was the audio in space demo. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I didn't see it. Tell me more.
So the guy's in his room. He creates sound effects, it looks like with his voice, but he does them at points in space. So he's walking around his room, and he leaves little audio droplets in air. And that seems like an interesting idea. Cool. Okay. But then what was fascinating is when he walked back through his space and heard himself through this sort of 6 degrees of audio. I think it's going to be pretty cool when more developers get to play with this. And we see some stuff actually in the App Store.
Did you see the Giphy demo?
Yes. That was super cool.
That's kind of fun, right? Like this idea of being able to annotate the real life with GIFs and stickers. It's pretty fun.
What about some other stuff coming out of Apple tomorrow? So we probably have a new Apple TV, although I don't know too much about it yet.
I actually want to talk a little bit more about face recognition,
okay.
You know, because this has only been made possible by some of these new advances in facial recognition that parallel some of the advances in speech and text recognition and image recognition that have happened, you know, in the last 3 to 5 years. And each of those just spawned huge new classes of companies as people started thinking about new applications. Computer vision, you've got self-driving cars that wouldn't have been possible. Well, that's not true with LiDAR. It's possible, but like, it's a lot cheaper if you're doing it with a camera than if you're doing it with a LiDAR. And so I'm kind of curious about what else, now that facial recognition is, it's essentially going to be made as part of the built-in into the phone. And presumably that means that eventually developers will get access to it, right? Once you get that level of complexity abstracted away, what some developers will be able to do with that?
I think it brings up this interesting idea of just, it appears to be an alternative to authentication, right? So Face ID instead of Touch ID, so it'll recognize me. What I am excited about is, will this bring about sort of multi-user iPads? Like I have two kids, we have iPads around the house. What they each have to have their own because of how Apple and iOS works. They have all their own apps, their own permissioning. But it's simple to think about if there's an iPad on the kitchen table and one kid picks it up and sees him and it logs in as him. It's another thing when we think about sort of these devices on our walls, like let's say in a TV on the wall or in a Nest-like environment where it's sort of a home control. Should it not recognize the person that's standing in front of it and give it a different user experience, whether it's my TV or it's my audio control or what have you? And now all it needs to have is the addition of a camera to do multi-user authentication and profiling and permissioning. I think that's going to be kind of cool.
That is really interesting. I mean, if you think about, the way a TV works today, what it shows you is the channel that you last watched. And that's not very smart. Now you think about an Apple TV. We're looking at one right now, and it still has a screensaver metaphor, right? I mean, it's not even showing live anything. It's just right. Showing like this, drone's view of San Francisco. But if that device could be aware of who is in the room, it could show live television that is optimized for who you are and what you like.
If it sees my kids there, then it should recommend stuff for my kids. It should see who's in the room, and that should change recommendation engines.
And if you think about Netflix, today, or Amazon Prime, the first thing it does is asks you what you want to watch. Like, don't ask me, just start showing me stuff. Well, if I don't like it, I'll change my mind.
Literally, ours asks, which profile are you? It's like, are you mom, dad, or one of the boys? So it should just happen automatically. If the whole family's sitting down, then we know what we're going to watch. So that's kind of cool. It's a lot of new user experience potential.
And so authentication, is one, obvious kind of straightaway gimme for facial recognition. But, Evan has been talking about the camera as an input for a long time. That's why he calls Snap a camera company. What else could you do with facial recognition? Like right now, we're thinking about it in terms of inward-facing camera. What happens if you change that to an outward-facing camera?
I think the other thing that we're going to see a lot of is people hacking Face ID, though. I think we saw some, I think it's one of the Android phones has some sort of Face ID recognition. And people are taking Facebook photos, printing them out and putting it in front of the camera and logging in. So I think I'm most interested to see how sort of Google or Apple sort of figure out how to make this a little hacker proof. It's not yet clear to me that they've sort of figured it out. It's probably some combination of video or some facial reaction that's like maybe it's audio plus some weird quirky smile and that's your login. I don't know.
That's interesting. I read in The Economist this week that Uber in India is requiring that drivers take a selfie before their shift starts to make sure that the person who's actually registered to drive is the actual person that's driving. And what you brought up is an obvious hack to sort of try to get around that.
Yeah, just put the photo in front of the cam. So I think it's TBD on that, how they're going to protect it.
There was a company that was funded a little while ago for identity verification, which used video instead of a static photo for exactly this reason, that like it was much harder to spoof a video of somebody else. I wonder if that's the workaround.
But I could still replay a video in front of the camera with another phone. And so if I recorded it prior, I actually don't know how they're going to pull this off because I think it's pretty hard. But hopefully we learn more tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Any other cool Apple announcements coming out? Think we'll hear anything about a car? Or did they give up on that?
Mm, I haven't heard anything about a car.
Yeah, the new 4K Apple TV will probably come out. Not the screen, but the device. We'll see what else, but it should be fun.
I guess I want to see the next generation of AirPods. I don't know if they've...
V2 came out. There is a 1.1, but it's not a V2.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the question, right? It's like, the, you know, you have... I mean, you have it as pretty much a peripheral right now, but there's obviously opportunity to put intelligence in that thing.
What about the watch with an LTE chip? That's kind of cool, right?
Just not, you mean untethering it from the phone?
Yeah,
the
opportunities so that has. This is a really interesting idea to me, which is if the watch has an LTE chip in it, it essentially can, it's not a, it's what's probably will be a virtual SIM, not an actual SIM card. So it can sort of mimic your own phone. Let's say you're going out to dinner with friends and you don't want to bring your big screen, which is the, you know, iPhone 7S or the iPhone 10. You leave that at home, but you bring your watch with you. You still got your phone. If anyone needs to call or text you, you can still press the app for Uber and get a ride home if you need. You still have sort of a micro version of everything, but you don't need a big screen. So why do you have to carry it around?
It'll be a while before we see that sort of behavior change. People are pretty tethered to their phones.
I actually think that this is really cool. And we'll like, I think long term, the display in our pocket may actually lose the chip. Like why does it have to be, why does the chip tethered to the big display when in reality, the thing I wear most often, and maybe it's one thing we didn't talk about yet is maybe some Apple AR glasses, but like where is the LTE chip? That question in the next 5 years, I don't think it's answered yet.
No, I agree. I think that's the key, though, is I don't think any of this is going to... This behavior change takes time. Right now, people feel this sense of nakedness if they leave the house without their phone, if they don't know where their phone is. And that takes quite a while to sort of decouple people from.
I agree with you, but I think this is at least one of the first times a large tech company is pushing us to at least rethink what staying connected means. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Cool.
All right, well, that was first time hanging. Aaron and Jeremy here at Lightspeed. Hope you enjoyed.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.